How are we doing?
Well,
I might be under the weather, but I'm not under the ground. If you have your Bibles, I want you to go ahead and open them up to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, as I was studying through the calling of Saul, it occurred to me in a lot of my study that really this was a discipleship program that began from Christ in Saul's life, and I thought it'd be good if we just took a little few weeks to walk through it, since discipleship is what we're all about. We were commissioned to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and that's what we want to do. So, lesson one of our title of our message is Learning to Lean on Jesus. Learning to Lean. We find this from Acts 22. You don't have to turn there, but you can look at it later if you want. When Saul asked the question, "What shall I do, Lord?" That was the moment of time when he had acknowledged and recognized that something that he hadn't been following, the Lord Jesus Christ himself was God, and he cried out and said, "What should I do, Lord or Savior?" Now, speaking about leaning, the first time I learned how to climb a rock, a high rock wall, was at a men's retreat at Twin Lakes Camp. I don't remember how many years ago it was, but I remember looking at the wall and saying, "Oh, this is going to be fun." Now, before any of us started to actually do that, there were instructions that they did give. Now, you know, you try to listen, right? I mean, they have to do those things. But of all the instructions that were given, there was one instruction that did catch my attention, and it concerned a particular helper. They called a belayer. All right? A belayer. How many of you know what a belayer is? Good. So there's some that do not. A belayer is just a person who's at the bottom holding on to a rope to save your life in case you slip or fall on the way up. So they have this harness wrapped around you, then they have the rope attached to the harness, and it's up high, and they're down on the ground holding it. Well, you got to know that I had a few questions about all that. Would the person actually be paying attention? Because I'm looking at these kids, they look like they're in high school. I don't know, but I might not be as fast as they think I should be, and I probably am not as fast as I should be. And will they get bored, start talking to their friends as I go, "Ah!" I don't know. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. Would the rope hold? That was another question I had. I know it looks sturdy, but are all elements of it sturdy? Is it actually going to hold me up in the air? Would the person who was half my size be catapulted up as I'm catapulted down, giving a whole new meaning to that spiritual song, "There's going to be a meeting in the air in the sweet by and by," which is where I was heading if they weren't paying attention. Well, you know, I had to learn to trust. I had to learn how to trust. Now, in life and eternal life, Jesus is our belayer. That's it. You need to remember that. Learning to lean, by that I mean specifically trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, is essential for our salvation. We know what Romans 10:9 says, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth, Jesus is Lord." How many people believe that? Amen? "And believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." So it's essential for salvation, but it's also essential and necessary for growing in Christ. You don't just trust Jesus, come down to the altar or wherever you're at, give your life to Jesus sincerely, and then you're done with him. No, it's a life of learning to lean on Jesus. Take one of the most well-known scriptures in the Bible. Many of you could probably quote it. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him." And what will he do? He's going to direct your paths. Yes, now this is put in what's known as Hebrew parallelism. What's that? Well, it's a form of writing where they actually couple it different verses. They'll make a statement, and then they'll make another statement, which goes with the first statement, to explain it a little bit more. That's what this verse is all about. Let's look at it. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, That's the first statement, and the one that's coupled with it, do not lean on your own understanding. So what they're doing here is they're telling you and I to lean to a person. A person. It is the Lord that we lean into. So it's really about a relationship. Trust is about a relationship. Trust me. I had to actually make a decision. I didn't even know the name of the person that was holding me up. But I had to have some kind of relationship to start climbing. You know, they actually had us go up about 10 feet. I don't know, is that about 10 feet, the bottom, that red, black line right there? Maybe a little higher. Okay, that's not too bad. And then they said, okay, I want you to push away from the wall and trust your belayer. Yeah, okay. So that's one thing, but what if you're that high at the top? It doesn't look high from down here. But when you're up there, it looks like it's the moon. It is way down there. This is the idea. You have to trust in a person. And I had to trust in that belayer. That's what trusting in the Lord is all about. Leaning in towards God. The word actually, the idea is actually leaning. If you were to study the Hebrew, it's the idea of leaning in towards an individual. So we're leaning in towards God. We're trusting in God. That's the couplet there. Now the second part, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Those are put together. That has to do with the words of the person. That is the word of God. That is the spirit of God. You're listening, and what is it? It is a compass for you and me. You and I have a compass by which we can live by. I know a lot of people have compasses. But are you leaning in and using God's compass? What's God's compass? I hope you're holding one. It's right here, the Word of God. That's what you've got to follow. That's what you've got to lead into. So leaning in is really a good way of thinking about trust and trusting in the Lord, okay? Leaning in to God. Now, you and I can understand this. A perfect example of this is with little children. Little children do this all the time. I love having interaction with kids, but if they don't know me, I'll go up to them and I'll say, hey, so-and-so. Oftentimes, that child will do what? Well, you don't know, but maybe you've experienced it. They turn around, hightail it, and who do they run to? Somebody, mom, dad, somebody they know, their brother or sister or whoever. And the first thing they do is they wrap their arms around them or they do this number and they're going, So they're leaning in here. And that's a good way to think about it with God, because really that's what it's all about. Are you leaning in, holding on to the person of Christ, and trusting in him, acknowledging him by following what he has said? So it's leaning into God. Are you leaning into God today? You need to be leaning. So when Saul now meets Jesus on this road to Damascus, oh my, he was used to leaning all kinds of ways. He leaned in on his education. He had a pretty good one, didn't he? He graduated from the top universities of his day. He was at the top of his class. So he leaned in on that. That's what he was holding on to. And it kind of did him some good on the earthly side. He got advanced and did well in his area. He was leaning in his confidence that he was building up as he was developing more and more higher in position, more and more authority. He was leaning into friends that he was gaining with the Pharisees. He was leaning in and holding on to this new authority. Now they're seeing, man, this guy is, you know, the first, he's the number one draft pick of the seminary. We got to have him, give him the ball. He's going to go with it. He's going to do a lot of good things for the temple here. So let's get Saul. And so he's leaning in on all of that. But he was missing one crucial element. He wasn't leaning in on Jesus. And that makes all the difference. You can have successful people that in God's eyes and in the big idea of things, they're not successful at all because they're not leaning in on the very one who brings about their success. So Saul had to learn how to lean, and he had a lot of learning to do. So I'm going to look into that a little bit. How did God help him? God actually does a big, big job here in helping Saul. Thank you so much. He gets my water every week. Whew. And it's cold, so bless you. It's in the Bible. That's all right. If it's cold water, if it's warm, I couldn't bless you. All right. So how did God help Saul is really what I want to think of us think about today. Well, it began with clarity. God, you know, Saul had to come face to face with some facts. He really did. He had to come face with the fact that with all his education, with all his friends, with all his passion that he had, and he was a passionate guy, he was not really getting along and doing the things God wanted him to do. In fact, these things kept him from following Christ. And so there were roadblocks in his life, and because he missed Jesus, now get this, because he missed Jesus, I didn't say he didn't hear about him. I didn't even say he didn't hear some of his teachings. And I'm not even saying that Saul didn't even believe some of the lessons Jesus may have spoken about. But he didn't have a relationship. He wasn't leaning in, holding on to. He would often misinterpret and could easily misinterpret the scriptures. You know, you've got to have the author and know who he is to understand what's going on here. Now, that's not to say that people that don't know Jesus can't understand some of the things of the Bible, but as far as the deep things of the Bible, it's the Spirit that gives understanding. And so we have this whole thing here. He needed to learn how to lean in, and so God helps him with this flash of light, boom, thunder. God knocks him down on the ground. He had all these crutches. By the way, he didn't know he had them. I was going to bring up all these crutches. I forgot all about it. But you got to imagine me now. Now I'm on these crutches. And one of the crutches that we had was him. And God said, okay, well, I'm going to knock that one right out. All your great education, all your great skills that you have and all those things. Watch this. Bam! God breaks that crutch and he falls right down and realizes, oh my goodness, that didn't hold me up after all. That wasn't as important as I thought it was going to be. And that's the way it is. He probably didn't even know he had that crutch. So God helps him out. Now, the Bible tells us that we put our hope in the Lord, and he is our shield, and he is our help. And I can't think of a better way to model that than our advertisement for discipleship to come to understanding of the truth that is Jesus that we need. So he's leaning in on God, and this leaning in is a learn discipline. You need to understand that. You just don't hear it and say, yeah, I'm going to lean in on Jesus. No, it's not that easy. Learning to lean in, and I don't care how many years you've been a Christian, is a learned discipline that takes your lifetime to continue to grow in it. It's always something more to learn, always something more to gain. It's not easy because our human nature, we want to be in control, don't we? We like to be in control. We want to be in control of things. That was the sin of our mother and fathers, Adam and Eve. They decided, they heard the temptation. They decided, you know what? I want to make a decision separated from God. I want to be my own boss. I don't want to lean into this one who walks with me every day in the garden. I want to be like God. We've been struggling with that ever since. So this is the issue. So he had to learn, and he learned an important lesson of spiritual leaning on Christ alone. When it comes to our salvation, absolutely. But when it comes to our growth, absolutely. It's about Jesus. It's about your relationship with him. The very words that you read, that is our Lord speaking and talking and interacting with you. Maybe we struggle because we don't talk to the Lord like that much. So Saul is learning, wow, all this learning, all this stuff that I have in my mind, it's worthless without the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he has this spiritual understanding and awakening, so to speak. It's amazing, though, how many Christians are just so stubborn. I know I am. How so stubborn we are to learn this lesson of leaning into God, trusting in him in all our ways, right? I like to more quote it this way. Trust in the Lord with most of your heart. Lean on your not on most of your understanding and some of your ways acknowledge him. oftentimes that's the way we live. Now, we won't say that in our Sunday school class, but that's the way we live. And God's helping us lean. That's what he was doing with Saul here. I read this from a Bible teacher, I think it's Bible.org. They write many articles, and this lady writes this testimony. I thought it was pretty good. I wanted to read it. It's just a short paragraph. I want to quote it here. She talks about learning to lead. She says, look, I learned to swing dance. Don't you love that? Woo! Swing dance about a year before becoming a believer. And one of the ways my partner and I would practice was for me to be blindfolded. Okay? Now, hang on. There's a reason. She's going to continue. I had a tendency to anticipate the moves that he would lead as opposed to letting him lead me. And I was unintentionally hijacking his lead very often. The blindfold made me wait, listen, and not anticipate. He was able to lead me through so many combinations I've never been able to do, and I couldn't even imagine. She goes on, in my early walk as a Christian, as I disciplined myself to walk with the Lord, I would reflect on my experience with dancing blindfolded, and it gave me a great courage to trust God through the things unseen. That's beautiful. The things unseen. Now, I don't know about you, but Marco Polo might be a fun pool game, but it's not so fun in the game of life, is it? To walk through and you're blindfolded. You can't understand all that God's doing. You can't always see what God's doing. You're hearing his voice and you're going over here because you heard Polo, and you go and you get over there thinking you're there, and then he's not, and so you yell Marco again, Polo, and you're going over here. Does anyone ever feel those frustrations seeking and just wanting to have answers from God? Well, this is where our depth of trust is really challenged. Saul needed to experience this blindness. He had to go through the blindness. It was more than just something to get his attention. It was a lesson he would carry with him the rest of his life. He had to learn to lean on God. He had to learn to let God lead the dance and not him. And so Saul does this, and we must learn to lean in God each day so that we won't miss a step either. Learning to trust God continued for Saul as well, because he was immediately confronted with some deep emotional dependency issues. I know that's a lot there. But trust he had to deal with those things. What am I talking about? Now, up to this point, you got to understand, Saul had his own background and his own relationships that he had built in his life. He had the family relationships. He had the Pharisee relationships. He had the relationships with the people that worked with him. These were his homies, all right? These were his people. That's what he knew. And they all kind of believed the same thing. And then all of a sudden, the light of God shone into his life, and whoa, wow. He had, for one time, Jesus had him to think about the relationships that he currently held. He didn't tell Saul to stop hanging around or stop interacting with these folks. He didn't tell him to stop talking to them. But obviously, the point is made here. The consequences of trusting Jesus Christ as Messiah would place Saul outside the circle of friends. It was going to happen naturally. That would be quite an emotional journey. That's where it becomes a detachment issue. He had to learn that he could not be connected to certain folks. Not that he couldn't minister to them. Not that he couldn't bring the gospel to them. But they couldn't be in that circle, that closed circle. That's going to be quite an emotional journey. Now, I want you to get your Bibles now, and we're going to read 19 through 24 and see how God provides. It says here, 19b, for some days he was with the disciples at Damascus. Well, let's back this up if I could. Well, no, I'm going to come back to that later. Let's start with 19. For some days he was with the disciples at Damascus, and immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogue, saying, "He is the Son of God." And all who heard him were amazed. and said, "Is this not the man who had made havoc in Jerusalem of those who call upon his name? And has he not come here for this purpose to bring them bound before the chief priest?" But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ. When many days had passed, the Jews plotted to kill him. But their plot became known to Saul. They were watching the gates day and night in order to kill him. Okay. Can we just think about this for a minute? Do you think that might have been an emotional experience for him? So the very soldiers that he was partnered with that were there to protect him were now there to persecute him. The very people that had sent him, that loved him, they were now turning on him and hated him. Just like that. You ever felt that sting before? And all his brothers and sisters in the nation of the Jews, whom he loved, and by the way, he continued to love even more so in his Christian life, they turned on him. Oh, he had some things he had to face. It's nothing wrong with having good friends, but that was one of those other crutches. He had the crutch of himself, and he was going to earn his way to heaven, and God was going to please with what he did. And he said, "Nope, for by grace you are saved through faith. That's not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not by works, so that you, Saul, won't boast." Boom! He kicks that out. And now, "But I've got my friends. I got my friends." And God says, "Boom! No! Not first. Me first." And here he is, and he's like, hits his face again. Whoa, what are we going to do? Wow. Overcoming such emotional dependencies that we have, and it's with people, and by the way, it could be with other things as well. But that's an important step if you want to be a healthy disciple of Jesus Christ. You need to understand, I love friends too, but your value and my value don't come from our friends. They come from God. You're important because God says you're important. You're valuable because God says you're valuable. You have been created in the image of God from conception. I wonder if Saul, if the experience that he faced here had anything to do with the phrase he was going to use in Corinthians. Are you ready? He walked through all this, and in his reflection time, if Saul thought about this and wrote it in his letter to the Corinthians where he put this, "Look, folks, listen. If you're not listening to anything else, listen to this. Bad company corrupts good morals." But they're nice people. Bad company corrupts good morals. But they're my friends. You and I need to learn to lean more. God is not telling you, he wasn't telling Saul, to abandon his friends in the sense of giving them the gospel of Christ. That's what they need. Not just hanging out. We have to learn to trust God's wisdom. So, are the people that you invite in your inner circle of your life right now, just think about them, are they helping you grow in faith and knowledge of Christ? Are they? Well, if they're not, they shouldn't be in the inner circle, but you should be going, therefore, into all nations, getting out of your inner circle and sharing Jesus with them. Sharing Jesus with them. I know that's hard to do, and it's not just friends, by the way. I have to include media in these days on our friendships. It's sad, but it's true. People have their best friends, their computer, or their phones now. It just blows my mind when people are sitting there, and they're right there with each other, and maybe they're doing something different, so it's no big deal, but they're actually talking to each other, but they're doing it through the phone. Why don't you put it down and talk to each other? People do this with television. They do that with cable news. How many people, you don't have to raise your hand. I've known so many people, they can't get their eyes off the television. They can't get their eyes off CNN. I don't know what that watches that. But Fox News or a Christian station. I've known too many people over the years that were best friends with Rush Limbaugh or Bill O'Reilly or certain Christian leaders. You know, that was it. That's what they wanted. They had to have that. There's nothing wrong with listening to folks, by the way. But if you're not leaning into God, you're not growing in faith at all. You're just going to be easily deceived or disappointed or both. And that's what's going on here. So careful who you're leaning in on. Leaning in. Paul had to learn not to lean into himself for his salvation. He had to learn not to lean into all his friends and all the things he's putting around for who he was and his calling. He had to lean into Jesus and Jesus Christ alone. You got to be careful. Maybe Saul would warn us this way. This is a little modern, but you guys have heard this one. If you lie down with dogs, you're going to get fleas. You might want to check yourself. So you want to lean into God. He's your first and greatest friend. The Bible tells us this in Proverbs. He who walks with the wise grows wise. Don't you love that? You want to be wise? Here it is. He who walks with the wise grows wise. That's it. That's pretty good, isn't it? Not too hard to understand, and it's short. You want to be wise in life? Walk with wise people. Walk with wise people. So Saul's journey, discipleship journey, began by leaning into God. His initiated, his every man and warrior first meeting was simply by rattling his belief system completely. Bam! Oh, I was wrong. Jesus, you are the Lord? Whoa, how did I miss that? There are so many people that miss Jesus, and they're sitting in church today. If you're here today, you will never get to the Father. You and I will never get to heaven if we try to bypass Jesus Christ. He is the way, he is the truth, and he alone is the life. And no man comes to the Father except through him. You must trust in Jesus as your Savior. So he trusted him, but he had to learn the importance of leading as his source of value, as his most trusted friendship, and not other people. People are important. We're going to get to that in a second. But God was careful also to get to this third lesson, which I'm going to close out with this morning. This whole idea of trusting in him was important, but he also had to learn to lean on other believers. This is where it gets hard. Okay? It's hard on all of them, I know that. But we need each other. I want you to look here. Saul had to learn how to lean in with other believers and two other believers. Look at verses now, 17, a little earlier now, chapter 9. Now we have Ananias. So Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, what's the next two words? Brother Saul. Well, first of all, that was hard for Ananias, but God and him worked through it. It's all right. He said, you know what? I'm going to trust the Lord. He's either going to kill me or hug me, one or the other, but I'm going to trust Jesus, and I'm going in. Woo! Sink or swim, I'm going in, right? I think there's a song to that. And so he's leaning in here, and we have Brother Saul. And he goes on and tells him, the Lord Jesus appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes and he regained his sight. Then he rose and he was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. Saul witnessed and learned the importance of leaning in on other believers by the actions of love of these other believers. Their love helped him grow in his faith so quickly, Brother Saul. All right, let's just get honest here. This is very hard for many people. And I'm going to say it's even hard for me at sometimes. All right? You're not alone. What do I mean? I'm going to tell you exactly what I mean. It's very difficult for us to trust people. I'm just saying it out loud, what you're thinking. It's very hard for us to trust other people. I'm going to get more specific. Sometimes it can be very hard for us to trust other Christians. Why? Because maybe we've been burned by one or two of them. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands because all the hands are going to go up, probably. Everybody's been burned at one time or another, or multiple times. And it's not anything to laugh at. It's just a fact of life. And I understand this feeling as well. 40-some years serving Christ in the ministry, there's been a few times where Dawn and I had been burned. Now, here's the thing. Are you ready? For all those who've been burned, I think that's most people, had their feelings hurt, had something done, something said, something misunderstood, I don't know, but we've all been through it. It's tempting to allow those actions to guide us away from the church, but that would be folly. Okay? I know people even to this day that won't darken the door of a church, or very rarely, because of the hurts they've had in the past. You know what? I've had a bad meal or two in my life. But as you can tell, I went back to the table. Yeah. But boy, when it comes to spiritual life, there's no grace there. And sometimes we're part of that problem. People are going to be stupid sometimes. Because you're going to be stupid sometimes, and I'm going to be stupid sometimes. People are going to say things sometimes they may not mean. They're going to be inappropriate with the things they say. They're going to be harsh with things they say. All these things. But that's not a reason or an excuse for a person to say, well, I'm not going to church anymore. No way. I think Saul had immediately this lesson pounded into him, because here he was amongst strangers. The very people he wanted to kill and arrest and everything else. And they knew it too. He's saying, I have to put my life now in their hands. I don't like this situation at all. Oh, he had to confront another crutch, right? I'm going to believe in Jesus. Okay, Lord, I'm going to try to make you first. I'm going to try to make you first, but do you really want me to let go of this? There's no way I'm going to let go of this, because I'm going to trust in Jesus alone. And God says, oh, that's good. That's good. But I died for the church and gave myself for it. We are better together than separate. You see, the devil wants to bust us up into pieces, and he does a pretty good job, doesn't he? Look at all the different churches and believers all over the world these days. Why can't we come together? And I know there's other reasons, but there's many of them are not good. So Saul was placed in this position. Look here at 9:25, will you? We saw that he was fed and taken care of by Ananias. And we saw earlier in 23 and 24 that they're now, his friends turned on him. They want to kill him. But look at 25. But his disciples took him by night and let him down through an opening in the wall, lowering him in a basket. I guess he had a pretty good belayer too. He had to trust him with that rope going down that wall that they were going to go, just kidding. He had a lot of trust he had to do. That's hard for us. It's hard for me. You get burned more than 2, 3, 4 times. What's it? What's that saying? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. We kind of hold to that sometimes. And God says, I thought my word says, how often do you forgive your brother? 7 times 70. Oh, I guess that's more than the other phrase. Sorry about that, Lord. But people are not always trustworthy. Isn't that the truth? What am I going to do? I might get hurt again. Why don't you come join the Society of Hurt People? I'm the chairman. It's okay, because we have a Savior whose grace is greater than our hurts. And he could keep us on focus. He could keep us on focus in this ministry he's called us to. I love what the great Bible teacher Gene Gatson, if you haven't read any of his books, he's got a whole series called Of One Another's, you got to get some, they're great. Gene Gatson, he said this, God uses the unity, the love and unity of believers as the greatest miracle to show himself to the world. That's really a paraphrase of what Jesus said himself, isn't it? Jesus said this, they will know you are Christians by the love you have one for another.
So I ask you a question. How in the world could the world know that we have love for another if we're not even around one another? We've got to come together. Saul had to learn to place his trust in Christ and his salvation. He had to learn to place his value in Christ and not who he was or his friendships. And he had to learn how to trust in believers that God sent his way. These will be great, great pillars for his ministry that he's about to embark on, because all three will come up over and over again. The greatest missionary that was ever known in the world began with discipleship. 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 Learning to lean on Jesus. I want to ask you a question then. What are you learning to lean on today? Who are you leaning on? What are you leaning on? And if you're here today and you're not trusting Christ as your Savior, or maybe you said you have, but you don't have a relationship with him, and you don't know for sure that if you were to die, you would be with God in heaven, you need to lean into Jesus Christ right now. He's offering you eternal life. You're a sinner, and so are the rest of us. Just come join us. And you simply need to know that and acknowledge that and come to him and say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God, who died on the cross for my sins and rose again. I'm trusting in you and you alone for my salvation. Save me, Lord Jesus. Man, God wants to do that so bad in your life. It's not like he's saying, I'm not sure I'm going to let you do that. No. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Will you lean on Christ? But I bet I'm talking to a whole lot of Christians here who are trusting in Jesus as their Savior. And sometimes along the way, we lean in the Lord. We lean in a little bit here. But I'm asking you to go a little bit deeper, okay? Wherever you're at. Because I think a lot of you guys like to lean, and that's good. But maybe we struggle about leaning in certain things in our life. So maybe your call, Saul's call to you today in discipleship, is to learn to lean in all things. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Oh, that's going to be hard. That's going to be hard for me, but it's something that we can do. If you and I can just learn as Saul was forced to learn, but that was a gift of God, by the way. Saul was very glad he got confronted on that road. And sometimes, by the way, to get our attention, God has to blind our eyes too. Maybe it's time you and I lean in a little bit closer to Jesus today. Years ago, there was a song, it was a chorus actually, it wasn't a hymn, it was a chorus that came out, Learning to Lean. How many of you know that song? Hallelujah. Because my voice is bad enough, and it's really bad now. But the song goes, the words are like this, learning to lean, I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Finding more power than I ever dreamed, I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Now, those of you who know it, please sing out loud, learning to lean, I'm learning to lean on Jesus, finding more power than I ever dreamed. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Let that be our testimony today. Every head bowed and every eye closed. As our worship team comes up, lead us into a closing praise song to our God. Do you need to do some business with God now? Go ahead and do it now. If you need to trust Christ, just call upon his name. Just tell him, Lord, I believe in you. I'm trusting in you as my Savior. I can't get to heaven on my own. My sin's too great. But you died on the cross and rose again. And that's what I'm leaning into. That's what I'm trusting. Save me, Lord. And my fellow brothers and sisters, all of us are always going to face the struggle of trust. I get that. It's not a sin that you're challenged with trust. It's a sin when we continually give in to fear and anger rather than trust. Will you lean into Jesus now? Will you choose to let go of those things that are trying to manipulate the way you think, even the scripture at times, and lean in on Jesus? Our Father, blessed be your name. I pray that we will all learn to lean in closely and grab on tightly to your hands, your arms, your legs, Lord, trusting in you so that we can be effective disciples as Saul, who later became known as Paul, was for all his life. We want to finish well, and we want to help be part of helping others finish well. In Christ's name, amen.